2016 Primetime Emmy Awards are over, but we are just getting started here on Post Show Recaps. Hello, everyone. Mike Bloom here, coming to you right after the East Coast airing of this year's Primetime Emmy Awards. Probably my favorite award show of the entire year, celebrating anything and everything that came onto our television screens and laptops and tablets because it's the year 2016 in this year. But I'm not alone. I am joined by an illustrious panel, even more illustrious than the accountants that might have put Leslie Jones' Twitter profile under lock and key at the end of the show. First, a man who has truly gone the extra mile by making 7,001 peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Take that, Mrs. Kimmel. You recognize him from his work on The Fargo, True Detective, Boardwalk Empire, and many more podcasts here on Post Show Recaps. Welcome, Jeremiah Panhorse. Jeremiah, how are you?
I am good. How are you doing, Mike?
I'm doing quite well. A little sad that our Fargo season 2 got a lot of snubs, but you know what? To be nominated is an honor. It really is, especially against People versus O.J. Simpson.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. It's nice to be nominated. That's what they say, but I don't know. But you know, yeah, O.J. of course took all the awards tonight, but that's how it goes sometimes.
We are not alone. We are joined by somebody who might be new to Post Show Recast, but not necessarily new to the Rob has a podcast atmosphere. You might recognize her from her great work on the American Ninja Warrior podcast, as well as her behind-the-scenes work on News AF and the In Memoriam Spice and Hour. Please welcome Lita Brillman to the podcast, and she is accepting this podcasting position, I must add, on behalf of Maggie Smith, who cannot be here tonight.
Yeah, I am so excited to be here in Maggie's stead. I've got my peanut butter and jelly sandwich ready. I've got my juice box. I'm ready to get into all of this with you guys.
So before we really dive into the 2016 edition of the Emmy Awards, this is one of the first times on Post Show Recaps that we really talked about award shows, let alone the Emmy Awards, on any sort of podcast in real detail. So I would love to hear from you guys, your personal histories, if you will, with the Emmy Awards. Even sort of discounting this year and speaking more on a general scope, what do you usually like about it? What do you not like about it? Is it appointment television for you? Jeremiah, we'll start with you.
Yeah, I mean, I probably would be the most boring of us to really answer this question because I'm like what they call an award show junkie. So I watch just about all of them. And I don't know if there's one in particular thing that I could say that I really watch for other than I'm just curious to see which shows and which actors get, you know, nominated and which ones will actually win because, you know, I'm fascinated by it. You know, I want to see who does the experts say that is the best of the best. And it doesn't really matter if I think the show is overwhelmingly entertaining or not, as long as I get to see who wins and who loses, I'm cool. So I'm kind of like on a level where not too many people are at. I'm just I'm one of these kind of guys who I'm okay with, you know, however the show turns out, as long as I get to see who wins and who loses. I mean, obviously, all these shows do sometimes seem like they run a little bit too long. I mean, nothing is nearly as bad as the Oscars. I mean, the Oscars is the worst. I mean, that thing seems to go on forever. And there is things that I think that they could change and maybe to make it a little bit more entertaining. But it just depends on the person, right, Mike? Because, I mean, everybody's ideas of what could be entertaining, what's not, just it just depends on your style and what you like and not like. I mean, some people like the more variety stuff. We got the big shows and the big songs and dances. Some people just like a lot of clips from different things. It just depends on what you're really into, you know? But I definitely think having a strong host really helps. And I thought this season, I thought Jimmy Kimmel, I thought he nailed it. I thought he did pretty good. But then again, I'm a big Jimmy Kimmel fan, so... But yeah, I don't know if there's one thing in particular I feel like has to happen for me to really enjoy it other than just it go smoothly and finish on time. I mean, that's a big thing for me.
Whenever you're ready. All right. We are not alone. We are joined by somebody who might be new to Post Show Recast, but not necessarily new to the Rob has a podcast atmosphere. You might recognize her from her great work on the American Ninja Warrior podcast, as well as her behind-the-scenes work on News AF and the In Memoriam Spice and Hour. Please welcome Lita Brillman to the podcast, and she is accepting this podcasting position, I must add, on behalf of Maggie Smith, who cannot be here tonight.
You know, and I was thinking, Mike, she's got a good point. I mean, I know a lot of these award shows do get kind of a black eye for that, the politics of it, right? Because, you know, I look at one of my favorite shows, Mad Men, and it wins like 4 or 5 years straight for best drama. Then it gets absolutely nothing for the rest, for pretty much forever, until, of course, John Hamm finally wins for best actor, which, you know, the poor guy got snubbed so many times. And there's so much politics involved with this awards, it seems like, a lot of times, that I think that does kind of put a little bit of a bad taste in people's mouths when it comes to award shows. I mean, I just understand as being part of it. You know, I mean, it's just one of those things. If you get nominated quite a few times in a row, you know, it doesn't matter if you had the best performances in your last season, you may not win that award that time because you've already won quite a few times. So what do you think about that, Mike? Is that kind of a black eye sometimes when it comes to these award shows? Because it does seem to be apparent to be somewhat true.
Yeah, as I can sort of segue that into my general thoughts about the Emmys, because that is definitely one of the more aggravating elements. I mean, you have years and years where things like Frasier and Everybody Loves Raymond were winning awards in their 7th, 8th, 9th seasons over upstart comedies like Arrested Development, even though it did end up winning in its first season. But it feels like that changing seems to be getting bucked a little bit. I know Lita pointed this out, but it feels like in the past three or four years or so that there have been many, many more surprise wins. I'll make a blanket statement about this year's ceremony that we just saw. I was very, very pleasantly surprised with the vast majority of the winners. I sometimes, in a kind of a tongue-in-cheek manner, compare the Emmy Awards to going to a restaurant on your birthday that gave you food poisoning one time, where you're like really almost naively excited about it initially. Like, great, I love going to this place. I have such great memories associated with it. It's my birthday. It's a really exciting time of year. I can't wait to go. Then you get there, you start eating. You're like, okay, this is good. I'm enjoying this. And then there's just going to be these one or two moments when suddenly you realize like, oh, I'm not feeling too well. Now I realize why I shouldn't have gone here. And admittedly, the Emmys does have a few of those moments sometimes, but I think it has been correcting its mistakes a little bit. And it feels like this year in particular, and you guys can agree or disagree with me, I feel like there were a lot of newcomers, upstarts, smaller shows and franchises and actors that were really acknowledged this year more than any other recent year I can really think of.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, we still had those repeat ones. I mean, obviously both Veep and Game of Thrones won last year. I believe Transparent had quite a few awards last year, and then they've won some more this year. I mean, you're always going to have those shows that are currently just the top dog show at the moment. I mean, for best comedy, how many times in a row did Modern Family win? And don't get me wrong, Modern Family is a great show.
Like four, yeah.
It's a great show, but there was so many other shows that was definitely worthy of winning some of those seasons. So I felt like, yeah, you're right. We did have a little bit of, we're working towards a better mix, hopefully, when it comes, especially with the Emmys, which I believe is the second most important award show next to, of course, the Oscars. But I mean, I think we're working towards it, Mike. At least I hope so. Lita, you feel the same way? Are we working towards maybe a little bit more of a variety of people winning?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, even just sort of the adjustments that they've made with the system and the categories, I think has been more amenable to, you know, not to use the word diversity too much, because I feel like we're going to use it a lot, but a broader diversity of types of shows and types of people that are considered for nominations. And, you know, one thing I love about the Emmys so much more than something like the Oscars, besides the fact that I'm just more of a TV person than a movie person, is that even if you are an absolutely incredible actor in a movie, if the movie isn't really recognized for any Oscars, you're not very likely to, because of the genre or whatever, you know, an exception being someone like Melissa McCarthy in Bridesmaids. That doesn't happen very often. Whereas I feel like the Emmys give more of a shot to individuals or a specific creative team, even if they don't recognize a show very many times. And that's mm-hmm. one of the things that I really like about it. And I feel like a lot of that was demonstrated tonight. There were shows that I wasn't really familiar with that had one or two nominations or even wins. And so, yeah, I feel like there is a little bit of a shift. I will say that I think that the Veep dynasty is completely deserved. So I'm not mad at that.
Yes, the two-win Veep dynasty has truly cemented itself.
Well, the Julia Louis-Dreyfus dynasty. How about that?
Yeah, she has far outlived Veep. I would definitely agree. And I'd say overall, I might pref the Emmys above the Oscars in terms of enjoyment, because I also just think the Emmys are more, for lack of a better term, fun. It just feels like they almost always get a comedian to host. They're going for a much funnier vibe. The Oscars, for as prestigious as they may be, I personally feel like they really take themselves a little too seriously sometimes. And unfortunately, the Oscars have also now ended up sort of the last stop on the Oregon Trail that is like the movie press tour when you're going through all these award shows in the beginning of the year and then you finally make a stop at the Oscars. Whereas the Emmys are, you know, they're in the fall now with streaming services. Does that confuse things in terms of cutoff dates? Sure, but it feels like it's, oh, the start of a new TV season. Great, it's the start of the Emmy Awards. And it seems like they're always going for the more of a comedy tone as opposed to the Oscars, which go for more of a serious tone. And even when the comedy falls flat, which I'm sure we'll talk about quite a few times when this year's ceremony fell flat in particular, I still enjoy it more overall. Jeremiah,
yeah, I totally agree. And, you know, I was thinking about this the other day because I know Alan Sepinwall has been talking about this a lot, is the fact that this is such a special golden time that we have in television. And to me, television is way more exciting, really, overall than the movies. I mean, to me, it seems to be. A film has just, it's always been fine, but right now, television is really where it's at to me when it comes to fantastic entertainment. And the Emmys, of course, is that big show that's going to award these people. So to me, I do feel like the Emmys is kind of is now a much better show to watch for me than maybe the Oscars. And I know that sounds almost blasphemous in my house since we take the Oscars very seriously, but I really, really get excited about the Emmys now because there's just so much great content out there that we get to see be rewarded for such great work. And I just think that this is a different time now where we're in the last 10, 15 years have been such great moments in television. And I think now the Emmys is the show to watch.
So let's unearth the golden age of television, if you will. Let's really start talking about this year's Emmys. But before we even dive into the show itself, let's put on our best Joan Rivers wigs and talk about the looks that hit the red carpet. Lita, before you came on, I know you told me you have a best dress list, so lay it on us.
I do. There are about 15 people on it, so I will not read the whole list. I will just read my standouts. But if I snubbed anyone in the listeners' opinions, just know that this is a very long list. So I may have them on there somewhere. So I think my absolute standouts were Taraji P. Henson's first look on the red carpet when she was in bright yellow. She later changed to present, I think. But just her makeup and that color on her, she looked so, so beautiful and so young. I just couldn't believe it. Tracee Ellis Ross in her custom Ralph Lauren, the white dress.
Gorgeous.
Amazing. Just completely drop dead. I would also say in my absolute top, I think Claire Danes always brings it. This is sort of a big year for her for fashion after her Met look. And of course, Laverne Cox just looks better and better every single year. I don't understand it. And then finally, I guess the last person at the top, I would say Constance Wu. I thought that her hair was super, super glamorous. When she decides to dress up, she just always hits the mark. And in terms of men, the only person I have on my list is Rami Malek. Sorry, Tim Gunn, who put Jon Snow on there. But Rami Malek just is so handsome that I guess he can wear anything. And I would put him on my best dress list. But I loved his look.
I would add a couple more to that. I thought Kristen Bell looked gorgeous. I love the pattern on her dress. She was definitely a hit in the Bloom household. My wife sort of like dropped what she was doing and like audibly gasped after seeing what Kristen Bell wore when she presented. It was just big and poofy and all sorts of fun. Niecy Nash wore a beautiful dress designed by Christian Soriano, who's a Project Runway winner, who I believe also designed for Leslie Jones for the Ghostbusters premiere. I believe that's what the story was. So I thought she looked great. Overall, some really fantastic looks. I'll admit, something I wasn't as big of a fan of, I love Amy Poehler, but that like green shawl was not doing it for me personally.
Especially next to Tina Fey, who looked, you know, had this green dress that perfectly suited her.
Absolutely. Jeremiah, any
I'm going through EW's list right now, and I noticed that Amy was on that list, the worst dressed, and it is pretty terrible, I will admit. And I am definitely the last person to ever ask about when it comes to this subject. I mean, obviously, I know it's a big part of the Emmys, and I know it's something that a lot of people like to talk about. But since I have such little knowledge when it comes to the fashion world, I usually try not to comment too much about it because I'll probably just sound like an idiot. But there definitely was some highlights that of certain people that I thought definitely did look really nice. And you're absolutely right about Kristen Bell. I just looked at hers. Wow, I don't know how I missed that on the red carpet. She looks fantastic there. And on Viola Davis, I liked this dress that she's wearing as well. I thought she looked fantastic.
Mm-hmm. And matching with her husband too, Viola Davis. With
absolutely. Oh, Kerry Washington, I thought she did pretty good there. I mean, how many months pregnant do they say she is? I mean, she looks great. So I mean, there's definitely some stand-ups. Yeah, and you know what's funny? Because how do you, when it comes to men, I mean, this is an area where I do kind of struggle with. It's like, to me, you know, unless it's like an outrageously ridiculous tux, I mean, as long as it's a tux, you know, it's so hard for me to, how am I supposed to know? I mean, yeah, does Rami Malek look great in that tux with the white tux? Yes, he looks great, but so did the other guys. I mean, Jerry Seinfeld looked great in his tux. You know, like, how do you judge that?
I mean, I'm also, and this might be like my own tacky sense of fashion, but I like to pref the more, I wouldn't say outlandish, but definitely the patterns that stick out more. I'm thinking like Terrence Howard's suit that he wore when he presented had like a much different pattern than something that was a little more simple like Rami Malek's. And someone like Terrence Howard can really pull it off. So it's almost like, you know, pulling off the back of the costume shop when you're doing the Music Man, like those types of pattern suits. If you can pull them off, that's an A+.
Well, I also feel like it's about pulling it off. For me, I have Rami Malek there because I feel like a white tux easily can look like a cater waiter or a wedding singer. And I will say Jimmy Kimmel later sported a white tux that I didn't feel like worked and was more on that waiter side of things. So just the fact that he pulled it off and it was so well-fitting and he just looked so high fashion in it, you know, is maybe more a testament to the way that he carries himself and the way that he looks. But I just love Rami Malek. I'm going to be raving about my crush on him all night.
Is it because you podcast with him about American Ninja Warrior?
Yes, that's exactly what it is.
Your bias is showing, Lita. I see right through it. So let's start with the cold open from the show. A similar trope that's been done in quite a few Emmy ceremonies, at least of recent memory. I know I actually talked about one version of it when I went on Lost Lives with Josh Wigler a few weeks ago. The commonality of here's the host, he needs to get to the show. He or she is going to walk through several shows. Aside from Conan O'Brien doing it, I remember like Jane Lynch, I think, like sang a song about going into a TV and going through all the channels. It's a fun way to just utilize a lot of different characters and kind of smash them all together in a mashup. This time, for some reason, Jeb Bush was included. Jeremiah, give me your takes.
Well,
on the
Jeb Bush thing definitely threw me for a loop because it was so funny because at first when he gets inside of the car and I see him, it like didn't even dawn on me who I was looking at first because I was thinking, who the hell is this? What show is he on? And then I realized who it was and I'm like, oh my God, this is actually pretty funny because it's great that Jeb is actually able to make jokes about himself. And I think that always is a nice thing to have. But the whole concept there of this cold open, like you said, we've seen this quite a bit now over the last few years. And I like it, but here's the thing, is it kind of getting old? It feels like maybe it's getting a little bit old. I don't know if we need to continue this trend that has been going on for a while. I mean, this particular one was fine. I don't even remember if there's, other than the Jeb Bush thing, I'm trying to remember right now off the top of my head, what else really stood out to me that was great. I thought overall it was okay, but not anything that I would just go crazy over. What do you think? Am I off here? Does it feel like it's getting a little bit old?
Yelena, do you have any thoughts about this incarnation and how it might compare to others? And if you agree with Jeremiah's thought that it might be getting a little trite?
Yeah, well, this is definitely very formulaic. And obviously you knew that James Corden was going to come. They're going to sing. It's just something that it was fine. I agree that the Jeb Bush thing was funny. And he actually, I felt like, pulled it off and had pretty good comedic timing. Julia Louis-Dreyfus was so funny. I laughed out loud when she said, oh, the Emmys. Just perfect Selena Meyer. But overall, I still remember Andy Samberg's opening from last year about trying to watch every single show. I remember that being funny. I don't think I'm going to remember this next year.
Yeah, and I mean, there was like fun acknowledgement. Obviously, Jimmy Kimmel is going to have OG on the brain the entire night. I would say at least a good 40% of the jokes he's going to make overall are going to be about right. OJ. So to have it start off with him and Malcolm Jamal Warner in the Bronco, I thought sort of paved the way, literally speaking, for the road he's about to drive down for the next 3 hours. I thought it was fun, at least in the carpool karaoke, that they actually jumped into a Wham video and actually started singing it. I guess that took one step beyond. And I agree, the Jeb Bush cameo was fun, confusing. I'll admit, I'm not the most politically minded person. I didn't even recognize Jeb Bush at first. I'm like, is that some sort of like older actor that I don't recognize anymore?
Jeffrey Tambor looks terrible.
Exactly. Oh man, he became a woman on Transparent, and now he's becoming a presidential candidate who is a man. He's truly a chameleon actor. But I thought Jeb like did an admirable effort. Let's talk a little bit about his monologue, and maybe this can sort of segue into general talk about your thoughts about Jimmy Kimmel as in general as an Emmy host. We did have him 4 years ago. Admittedly, I was on tour in 2012, so I saw like spots of the Emmy Awards. The only thing that I really remember from those Emmy Awards were that cold open did not have Jimmy going through different TV shows. I think that one had him like, for some reason I remember that's when Girls premiered, and it had him like in the bathroom with a naked Lena Dunham. And then the other big thing that was remembered from that show was when he had Tracy Morgan lie unconscious on the stage to make people think that when they tuned in, that Tracy yeah. Morgan had collapsed on the stage, and to tweet to get everybody to tune in to watch the Oscars. Jeremiah, did you have any highlights from Jimmy's monologue, and what were your overall thoughts on him as
well?
Host?
I'll start with the overall thoughts. I really thought he did just fine tonight. I do think, you know, he's got his own particular style and timing and tone that he has for his show. You know, it's just like with any comedian, if he has the type of, he tells the type of jokes that you like, you're going to enjoy it. If not, you know, obviously you're just not going to be, you're going to be left out. You're going to be really, I mean, I don't know how many times people complain about, you know, Ricky Gervais doing, you know, the Oscars and stuff, you know, it's like, yeah, but I mean, if you like Ricky, you're going to like the show. So I like Jimmy. So to me, overall, I thought it was pretty good. Now, as far as the opening monologue, the only thing I really wrote down I really thought was hilarious was a whole bit with Mark Burnett. I thought that was fantastic, especially since I'm a huge fan of reality television. Obviously, Mark Burnett produces so much of the shows that I really love. And the whole thing with The Apprentice and the Donald Trump thing and say, hey, you know, Donald gets elected, you're the first one we're throwing over the wall. I was laughing my ass off. I thought it was hilarious, and I thought it was great that Mark, you know, went ahead along with the joke even after he accepted his award for The Voice. So I thought that was the one part that really stood out. Other than that, I don't remember much else that really I felt the need to write down and say, "Oh, that's pretty good." But I did think overall, I laughed, you know, but not a lot.
Lita, what do you think about Jimmy Kimmel this year?
Well, yeah, I loved the Mark Burnett attention the entire night. That was surprising. We even got to The Tribe Has Spoken,
which was fun.
Yeah, you know, I'm not someone who watches Jimmy Kimmel on purpose. I can't say that I'm like a fan of his. I don't have any problem with him. So I didn't really have any expectations going into this. I thought the monologue was okay. I laughed when he asked if Marcia Clark was rooting for OJ to win tonight. I thought that was funny. You know, the stuff about, oh, how diverse we are and we're going to pat ourselves on the back for this, all that stuff. It was fine. I think that there's a certain point where it's just like, okay, you're acknowledging this so much that you think that you're doing like a great job of addressing it, but really it's just kind of overkill. And, you know, overall, we can't act like, okay, we've done it. We've achieved diversity. So now we all get to feel good, which I feel like is a little, it just felt a little self-congratulatory even as he was trying to be joking about it. But yeah, there was nothing cringy. There's nothing embarrassing or that I wanted that I don't understand how it got through the cutting room floor. So that to me is a win for an award show host, because we've seen our fair share of Anne Hathaways and James Francos in the last few years.
Yeah, I feel like Jimmy Kimmel, I agree with you, Jeremiah, definitely has a definitive style. His style is so, I wouldn't say low energy, very calm.
Yes.
And that is so disparate from even someone like Jimmy Fallon, or let's take Andy Samberg from last year, which was more like if your goofy little brother tried hosting the Oscars. It was a very different tone. And as a result, I thought he got off with a lot of great jokes. There were a lot of fun bits throughout. I did like, you know, the announcer saying, "Here comes Bill Cosby," and everyone was just sort of didn't know how to react. And then Jimmy Kimmel comes out and says, you know, "Oh, I just wanted to say that so that I could see how you reacted." I like that type of stuff. We'll probably talk later about the peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and Matt Damon of it all. But I thought there were a couple of fun barbs in this monologue. I like the choice on paper of starting out by giving someone an Emmy, saying, "I saved you 22 minutes. Jeffrey Tambor was a weird decision because I personally didn't think he was a lock as much as someone else from another award, which probably escapes me. But I thought it was like a fun idea. It sort of reminds me of during one year of the Tony Awards, I think it was 2011 when Book of Mormon was nominated, Chris Rock came out to announce Best Musical, and he's like, "All right, we all know what it's going to be. Everyone knows what's going to happen. Nobody is going to be surprised by the name that I'm about to read." And it felt like he was doing that, which I thought was fun and a little different. Obviously, as we've said before, as a reality TV fan, I was excited to see a Survivor reference and to hear him directly reference Mark Burnett. Of course, it was a little bit of a Trump bashing special with the stars coming out to play, though I'm surprised that someone like John Oliver, for instance, definitely reined back. I think he could have rained holy hell down on someone like Donald Trump in his acceptance speech, considering that he provided a lot of prime material for him to work with. But he remained surprisingly light on it. And here's where Jimmy brings up the Maggie Smith rule, where he says, if you are absent and you're not able to accept the award, which happened a few times this year, the award will basically gets handed off to the next person. Jimmy later says when Maggie Smith does win the award that he'll put it in the lost and found. I felt like
that was funny. I felt like he really swooped in there and had really good time.
Yeah,
that
he did.
Yeah, I did enjoy how meta he got. I know that there you walk a fine line when you refer to those meta things, like, "Oh, Jeffrey Tambor is definitely going to win this award," or, "Oh, Maggie Smith never comes." But I think Jimmy Kimmel, it's a 68-year time-honored tradition. I think there are enough traditions that are well-worn at this point, in spite of all the new stuff that's happening, that he's able to make fun of it. So I enjoyed that, and I enjoyed it when it cut back to him. Again, it was low energy, but I thought he was a fine host. I think he definitely was serviceable and definitely better than some of the more recent hosts we've had in recent years, at least.
Yeah, I'd probably give him like a grade of like a B maybe for me. But I would put a little asterisk by my grading saying, hey, but I will admit I do like Jimmy's style, so I was okay with it. But I'd give him at least a B. And you're right about the energy level. I mean, the question is do you need high energy all the time? I guess it really just depends on what you think the audience really wants to go for. I mean, and again, that's subjective to whoever you're talking to, because some people like high energy, some people like low energy. But yeah, that's just his style. It's just him.
All right. So I figured what we could do, instead of going really category by category, I figured we'd sort of take things in chunks by genre. So for instance, we're going to start off with the comedy category. Now, we won't talk about Outstanding Comedy Series, which was awarded at the very end of the show, but we can talk all about supporting actor, writing, supporting actress, directing, et cetera, that sort of occurred around this first half hour to 45 minutes of programming. Lita, looking at this first chunk, what were some of the most delightful things you saw in this segment?
Okay, so I have a few. I was completely shocked. I don't know what the consensus is on this. I tried not to read a ton of like predictions for what's going to happen or anything like that. So maybe no one else was surprised by this. I was shocked and very happy when Master of None won for the parents episode for Outstanding Writing. I really thought that since it's its first season, it would just sort of be getting into the consciousness of the Emmy voters, and I was happy to see it nominated for things. I didn't actually think it was going to win anything, but I was completely delighted, especially because I think Alan Yang's speech was probably my favorite of the entire night. I'm in a class right now about Asian American representation on television, so this was definitely something that I've been thinking a lot about lately. He sort of did a call for more Asian American representation in the arts, for parents to encourage their children to go into the arts. And that was definitely a high point for me. Also, very happy about Kate McKinnon. She deserves mm-hmm. it more than anyone has ever deserved anything. She is carrying SNL right now. So very happy about that. I was a little disappointed about the best supporting actor in a comedy, but that's only because Baskets is the only one of those shows that I don't watch. I love Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I love Veep. I thought that this could have been Matt Walsh's year from Veep. I felt like he had a great year this season, and that I don't know if he'll really get the opportunity to shine like that again. So I would have liked to see him recognized, but, you know, I wasn't totally shocked.
Jeremiah, what are your thoughts about this comedy category?
Yeah, there was nothing I was completely surprised about. Louis Anderson, I was a little surprised about that. I do not watch Baskets as well, but I thought it was nice to see that Louis Anderson won. I thought I definitely agree with you guys when it comes to Brown with Kate on SNL. Definitely, she is by far holding up SNL as far as I'm concerned as well. But I thought overall, I thought it was fine. I didn't see a lot of things that really surprised me necessarily. Here's one thing I can always say is that if you're up against Julia Louis-Dreyfus, you might as well just give up because it's over. You're not going to win.
You might as well be Maggie Smith and not show up.
Maggie Smith. And I understand she is outstanding, obviously. There's a reason why she wins so much. She's definitely the Meryl Streep of the TV categories. You don't want to be up against this lady because you will definitely lose. So, but, you know, I'm looking through my list here. I don't see anything necessarily that I was completely surprised about or, overly taken by. I think overall, the people I expected to win did win, and that's fine. I'm okay with that.
All right. So I have a few thoughts on this. So I will say I was a little surprised by the first few wins. Louis Anderson, I probably have seen the most amount of Baskets episode out of all of us, with a grand total of two. And Louis Anderson's doing really interesting work. He is the first man to win an award for playing a cis woman, not a trans woman like Morf Effernan on mm-hmm. Transparent, but for actually just playing a cis woman. So I thought that's super interesting. I thought Louis Anderson was doing really interesting, weird work, and it started things off on a very interesting note, because that was a big sign that, like Lita had talked about, these smaller shows might actually get some recognition. So even though I do love Tytus Burgess and Tony Hale and Matt Walsh and Keegan Michael Key is always a delight, it was super interesting to see Louis Anderson with his rose gold bolo tie start off the evening. To answer your question, Lita, about the writing, I feel like we can sort of answer that as a blanket question for all of the writing and directing nominations that happen. I feel like there is a little bit of vote splitting that happens when you have multiple shows nominating multiple episodes. For instance, I think Veep had three episodes nominated for writing, and I think there's a very good chance that it split the votes, because you alluded to this earlier, Lita. They changed the voting system this year, I believe, where instead of just ranking everything, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, however you'd like, you choose like a definitive number one, and that gets your vote. And as a result, when you don't have a definitive horse to back, all the horses sort of collide at the starting gate, and one mule just sort of takes off. Not to say that Master of None was a mule. I really enjoyed the Parents episode as well, but that's why I feel like it beat, the three Veep episodes and two Silicon Valley episodes that got mm-hmm. nominated. My heart wept when Kate McKinnon won. I don't know why I got so emotional. I don't know if I've ever said this on a podcast before, but Kate McKinnon is probably in my top three SNL performers mm-hmm. of all time. She really can do no wrong. And to see her so, again, in an award season where, like at the Oscars, for example, the same people win every award leading up to the Oscars, so that when they win the Oscar, there's no real emotion coming out of them. To see her legitimately shocked and stammering and just like frantically reading off a note, I thought was so much fun. And she made it so Kate McKinnon. I was thrilled for Jill Holloway, second year in a row, directing for a comedy series. Transparent is a show overall that I would still say I don't know is exactly a comedy, but it is a beautifully made show. The cinematography behind it and the character work is just fantastic. And it's really telling a story that isn't told on TV today. And Jeffrey Tambor going along with it, I thought he had a really nice speech. I think I don't want to get into the gender politics of it all, but I think there could be a little grumblings about, you know, the biggest transgender role on TV is played by a cis man, but then he sort of acknowledges it at the end with his speech by saying, I would not be unhappy if I was the last cisgender man to play a transgender woman on TV, which I thought was
very
nice.
Easy for him to
I feel
say.
Like we need to talk. Yeah, exactly. At least it was said. I have to give him at least a little bit of credit there, but I feel like we need to give some credit to Julia Louis-Dreyfus' yes. speech. She won mm-hmm. for her fifth Emmy in a row, and I think maybe like eighth or ninth overall. Usually at this point, she has a bit, right? 1 year, I think she went up with Amy Poehler's speech. Another year, she went up almost as Selena Meyer with Tony Hale whispering things in her ear. This time, her voice is quaking. She is stammering. Earlier, it seems like she's not really smiling in the audience. And I thought it was a bit at first until she reveals at the very end that her father had passed away 2 days beforehand.
It was emotional.
I don't know. It was really emotional. I did not expect to like get so bleary-eyed within 10 minutes during the comedy category between Kate McKinnon and Julia Louis-Dreyfus, but I was definitely there, and obviously my heart goes out to her family. But
yeah,
I mean, that it good on her. Shame on everyone else who publishes articles that say, why was Julia Louis-Dreyfus so upset during the Emmys? You know why, and I have to give her all the kudos in the world personally for having such a big family loss and then going to the biggest TV night of the year 2 nights later and still putting on a brave mm-hmm. face. I have to give her major kudos for that, among all the other great things she does
on
TV.
Absolutely. And it really was emotional. I got a little bit teary-eyed listening to her speech, especially towards the end there. So kudos to her. I mean, she came out, like you said, you would have never known that had just happened. So 2 days, wow. That had to be very difficult for her to go through that whole thing, I'm sure.
We do have a brief dalliance in the reality TV category with Outstanding Reality Competition Show. They gave all the other reality show awards away at the Creative Arts Emmys, which we might talk about sporadically throughout. They aired the previous night on FXX, but I think they were filmed over 2 nights the weekend beforehand. It goes to The Voice. Lita, as our American Ninja Warrior cover on reality TV wrap-ups, how livid were you that they missed out on their first time Emmy
Devastated.
Award?
Devastated. We already had, Taryn and I had business cards that said Emmy winning podcasters. We were so ready, and Mark Burnett had to come and take it away from us.
Damn that Mark Burnett.
I know.
Listen, I'm feeling your pain. I'm representing Top Chef here, and I guarantee all four of us on the panel, we won 1 year and we got that taste in our mouths in 2010, and we've lost it ever since. Jeremiah, are you a watcher of The Voice? What was the horse that you would be backing of these six shows that were nominated?
Well, as far as the six that are nominated, the ones that I watch on a regular basis is definitely Top Chef and Amazing Race, of course. I do occasionally watch American Ninja. I do think that's a great show, and I'm actually glad it's actually been getting some nominations. This is really, really exciting. And then I occasionally will watch Dancing with the Stars. My wife's a big fan, so I do tend to watch quite a bit with her. The Voice, you know what? I don't really watch it that much. You know, I think part of the problem is that even though it is still quite a bit different than American Idol, it's still another, you know, vocal voice competition show. And I think because I watched so many years of American Idol and then eventually got burnt out on it, that by the time The Voice came around, I watched, you know, like I think most of the first season, I thought, okay, I like this. It's a little different, you know, and everything. But I was just so burnt out that I just really haven't kept up with it. I guess I shouldn't be too surprised that it won. I heard some rumblings that it might win this year. But I'm actually going to think about it. Was this its first win, or did it win last year? I'm trying to remember.
It won last year as well.
All right. Well, it would have been nice to see a different show like the American Ninja maybe possibly win, because, you know, I'd like to kind of see that spread around. Obviously, I'm always disappointed every season when Survivor is not one of the shows that are mentioned. Hey, how many years in a row, though, did The Amazing Race win this thing? I think it won like 6-7 years in a row or something like that, didn't it?
Yeah, and then it lost once, and then it like won twice, then lost again, then won again. It's been a little more on and off. Lita, what did you think about Mark Burnett's speech? We get the man to the podium very rarely these days, and he finally gets to take to the podium to make a Trump joke and then plug The Voice airing the next night on another network.
All I could think about was Rob's impression of him the whole time.
Talking about a Freddie Mercury mustache.
I was going to bring that up, and then I was like, is that too niche? Does everyone know that story?
This one goes out to Freddie Mercury.
Yeah, I've definitely heard Rob as Mark Burnett like many more times than I have actually heard Mark Burnett speak.
So this is the time when Jimmy Kimmel premieres the PB&J bit where his mother had, you know, worried about the hunger, the pangs of the entire audience. So they made 7,000 peanut butter and jelly sandwiches as delivered by the kids from Stranger Things with juice boxes and apparently handwritten notes that Jimmy goes into the audience later to talk to Cuba Gooding Jr. and Amy Schumer about. Jeremiah, what did you think about this bit, especially in comparison to something like, I don't know, the Ellen pizza bit from the Oscars?
I was just going to say, we had the Ellen bit not too long ago, which that's kind of what I felt like, that it felt like that's where they were going with on that. I mean, it seems like they're kind of copying that a little bit. So, I mean, I'm okay with it. The best part about it was the Stranger Kids got to come out. I mean, that was the best part, I thought, that they got delivered with the Stranger Things kids. So it was okay. I mean, to be honest with you, I could have been doing something else in the background during that whole bit. I mean, it didn't really do much for me, but maybe somebody out there thought it was funny. I did think the best part was probably the handwritten notes. That definitely was the best part, I think, for sure.
Yeah, it does feel bad when you see, for example, the People versus O.J. Simpson wins and that poor female executive producer gets cut off at the end of her speech when you realize, oh, if they'd cut the Jimmy Kimmel peanut butter and jelly bit short by like 30 seconds, maybe she would have gotten a chance to talk. Or Aziz Ansari could have said something at the very beginning of the show when he got snubbed for not talking about his own show that starred his own parents. Lita, what did you think about the bit?
It was fine. I don't know. It was okay, I guess. It was. I also thought that it was just sort of a knockoff of the Ellen bit. He makes an easy joke about celebrities being gluten-free. I didn't need this in my Emmys.
You got your Emmys in my peanut butter. And Lita does not want any of that. So let's move into the limited series / TV movie category. Jeremiah, you are the one among us who probably has the most memory of the O.J. Simpson trial. The acclaim that People versus O.J. Simpson had coronating in, you know, awards for writing, for basically all the acting categories except for supporting actress and for overall limited series. Do you think it was well deserved?
I thought the show was pretty good. I mean, I you could tell early on that there was definitely going to be the big winner of the night. It pretty much dominated all over the place. And I mean, it was a good show. I personally, you know, it's funny because a lot of times people ask me about the OJ thing. And I think I have to kind of remind people that when the OJ Simpson trial was going on, I was a teenager in high school. I could care less about that whole thing. Like, I did not live in front of my television watching every second of the trial. I couldn't tell you anything. I mean, I remember about the glove thing. I had to watch People Against versus O.J. Simpson so I could know what happened. Because, obviously I knew what happened. But, I mean, I had to watch the TV show just to kind of relive all that because I was just at a point in my life where I did not sit there and obsess about what was going on in the news and who killed who. You know, I was too busy, you know, getting drunk at parties and, you know, staying up late to studying for an exam or something. It was a time in my life where that was not a big thing for me. But I thought the FX show was really well done. It definitely deserved to get some kind of awards. I don't know if it deserved to get as many as it did, but I think it probably did deserve maybe to get this particular category, especially for best limited series. I'm okay with it definitely winning. I mean, looking at the other ones that was involved in there, I mean, personally, I don't know if I would have given it to them, but I'm okay with it. I mean, it's fine with me that they won.
Your Fargo bias was just showing a little bit,
Jeremiah. I try not to say I wanted Fargo to win, but I mean, was season two of Fargo the best limited show? I don't know. I thought it was good, but I don't think it was nearly as good as the first season. The first season definitely deserved to win it, but I don't know if season two did.
Yeah, but I feel like if you take the People versus OJ out of this year, do you think Fargo would have a better chance? Or do you think something like The Night Manager, which picked up the directing award, would have swept more categories?
Yeah, well, immediately, I think I need to go back and watch Night Manager because I haven't watched it yet, but I have heard some good things. But I think you're right. I think Fargo might have won this if we did not have People versus O.J. Simpson. This is a really good point.
Lita, what are your thoughts about this limited series TV movie category? Did anything rock your chain, to quote Courtney B. Vance?
You know, I haven't seen a lot of these. I did see Confirmation. I thought Kerry Washington was fantastic in that. I was happy to see her and Audra McDonald nominated in the same category. Sarah Paulson ended up winning that one, which is totally fair. I really liked Sarah Paulson's speech, actually. I wasn't born when O.J. Simpson was arrested, so I...
Oh, boy.
I don't know anything about this, really, but I did do some quick Googling of Marsha Clark when they were talking in the opening about Sarah Paulson bringing her, and I thought it was interesting what Sarah Paulson said about the responsibility of not only playing a real person, but a real person who is, like, still alive and active and mm-hmm. someone who had this public persona that, you know, projected something one-dimensional that wasn't necessarily representative of who she is or what she does. So I liked that. I was weirded out by the reunion of Friday Night Lights people that were nominated in these categories. Jesse Plemons and Kyle Chandler were both nominated for things. And I'm obsessed with Friday Night Lights. So that was exciting. But other than that...
Did you like later on when Kit Harington alleged or came up with the idea of making out with Kyle Chandler?
Yeah, he will kiss Kyle Chandler. So other than that, I don't have any super strong opinions about any of this. A lot of recognition for Ryan Murphy. Maybe this will make up for the last couple seasons of Glee.
Well, I definitely agree with Sarah Paulson. I think she so totally deserved that award.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And I think, admittedly, this is my secret shame. And I feel like Septon and Ella should be ringing a bell behind me when I say this. I've only watched a couple of episodes of People versus O.J. Simpson. So I really haven't been able to grasp a lot of, specifically, you know, of Sterling K. Brown and Sarah Paulson's, their performances as the lawyers in that trial, because we haven't gotten to the trial yet. But from what it seems like, Ryan Murphy did a really great job with this. Personally, I just think he has a problem finishing things. If you look at Nip Tuck and you look at Glee, the first couple seasons are great, but then it just sort of peters out because he just doesn't know how to end it. Even something like Scream Queens, I feel like he totally biffed
ending.
But I feel like I could talk for a while about what I don't like about Ryan Murphy. One thing that I thought stood out was Sherlock, The Abominable Bride for Outstanding TV Movie. I'm a Sherlock fan, and I'm a little surprised because it wasn't that great of an episode, in my opinion. So I was a little surprised that it took it, especially over something like Confirmation that you talked about, Lita. I wonder if the Sherlock bias is just that strong.
What I did not catch that yet with the Sherlock. I need to still watch it, but I kind of agree. I was a little surprised. That was one of the things I marked down as something I was kind of surprised it won. Confirmation, definitely. I was thinking maybe that would win it. So, yeah, I was really taken back by that. It was really surprising.
All right, let's segue into the variety show series, talk show, etc., and the kitchen sink, what have you. They gave away a bunch of these awards again, directing and writing specifically, the week before at the Creative Arts Emmys. We start things off here with Patton Oswalt winning for writing for a variety special. For those of you that did not know, Patton Oswalt unfortunately lost his wife several months ago. Lita, this was the year of heartfelt speeches, in my opinion. Did you like Patton Oswalt's speech?
The speech was fine. I have no problem with Patton Oswalt. I'm a fan of stuff that he's done in the past. I need to confess, I could not finish the stand-up special. I didn't think it was funny. I watch a lot of stand-up, and I thought that John Mulaney and Tig Notaro were both absolutely fantastic. I think that anything either of those people has ever put out is fantastic. And I just wasn't impressed with Patton Oswalt's special. I really gave it a chance because I do like him. I'm happy for him because overall I enjoy his body of work, and I understand that he has had an incredibly difficult year, and I believe that he deserves recognition for a lot of things, but I was not thrilled about this particular win.
Do you think... This is going to sound so bad. Do you think it might be because, I don't want to use the term sympathy votes, but do you think it's because, you know, the news that his wife had passed away was made public, and the fact that his special happened to be nominated, that might have swayed some of the voters? Not that he's not an extremely talented person. I agree, though. I was definitely more underwhelmed by his special than I was with other ones, whereas opposed to someone like John Mulaney or Tig Notaro, I loved both of these specials as well. And for a category that was really filled with a bevy of fantastic stand-up, that wasn't the one that I pegged. I'd say Patton Oswalt was probably the best stand-up comedian out of all of those, but he didn't produce the best stand-up special. Do you think sympathy votes might have played into it?
I don't know. I mean, after everything that Tig Notaro went through, not this year, but, you know, I don't know that Tig Notaro... Yeah, exactly. She never received equivalent accolades when she was dealing with that type of thing. So I don't know. He's also been in the public eye a lot, very favorably. He's, you know, very political on Twitter. So I don't know if just his overall very likable and popular public persona helped him. Also, I really don't know what it was. Maybe people loved the special and it just wasn't for me. I don't know, but I was very surprised by this.
Maybe some lingering Ratatouille fans just wanting to give him due. Jeremiah.
Well, I did not see the special, but I think that this is, it's a possibility that kind of stuff does go on. I mean, why not? People are human beings. You're sitting there, you're getting ready to vote, and you hear this news. I could see how someone could potentially do that. I mean, it's not outside of the realm of not happening in this type of environment, right?
Yeah, I would say so. Again, I'll probably let that topic kind of lie because I don't want to delve into too much for fear of becoming too insensitive about it. But I do want to talk a little bit about Last Week Tonight with John Oliver winning Outstanding Variety Talk Series. Jeremiah, are we in the era where The Daily Show is no longer the big megalith that it was? It was not even nominated this year. Granted, it wasn't a transition year moving from Jon Stewart to Trevor Noah, but it seems like since last year, John Oliver has taken this show by the reins and has never looked back. They won the writing award last week. It seems like I don't know if they've won a Peabody Award yet, but it seems like they're on the way to do so. Do you watch Last Week Tonight? And if so, do you think this is going to be the next big Daily Show powerhouse talk show that's going to sweep up all the Emmys moving forward?
Well, I think at the moment you definitely have to look at it that way. I mean, John Oliver to me is one of my favorites that are still out there. And I'm one of those kind of guys that I'm a casual viewer when it comes to most of these shows. I'll certainly watch something if a particular actor or actress is on it or something like that, or if they're talking about a particular subject that I really enjoy. But John Oliver and his writers are so good over there at that show currently, in my opinion. They are definitely one of the top-notch shows. Thinking back this year overall as a whole when it comes to Variety Talk, his stuff, there's been more things that I have laughed so hard and gone out and searched for when I heard about it that I missed it to make sure I see it than any of the other shows out there. And to me, I think maybe that's a good sign. I'm sure I'm not the only one that feels that way. So I think he deserves it. And yeah, you're right. We could be looking at maybe what we talked earlier about the mini dynasty, maybe a mini dynasty for the John Oliver show there for a while.
What do you think, Lita? Do you think John Oliver is going to step into Jon Stewart's shoes and promptly stomp all over the talk show scene?
I'm with you, and I'm totally on board about it. A lot of these categories I felt were super, super stacked, and there were a lot of people that I would have been happy to see win. This was the only choice for me in terms of this category. I love Last Week Tonight. I never miss it. I have a series recording. And apart from Samantha Bee, which was not nominated, I feel like this is the only talk show that I feel like has emerged as super important and also entertaining in the last couple of years. I absolutely adore John Oliver. I was really happy about this, and I wouldn't be surprised if it wins for years to come.
Yeah, to not necessarily parrot what I said on an earlier Most Shows Recap podcast when I briefly talked about it, I think that John Oliver is almost kind of making a mockery of your Jimmy Kimmels and your Jimmy Fallons and your James Cordens, who bring in ratings by saying, oh, let's sing in a car or let's lip sync, whereas John Oliver says, I'm going to entertain you while simultaneously teaching you about, you know, oil economies that happen in North Dakota. And I think it's a really special show. Does it become formulaic sometimes? Yes. Does it use too many analogies? Yes. But I think it's still an extremely well-done show, and I think it's exposed a lot of issues. Unfortunately, those issues have not been corrected, but you have to acknowledge it's an extremely polished show. So I'm very happy that it won an award, and I hope it means more to come. A couple of other...
Yeah, ahead, and also I just want to say about John Oliver that I have loved him for, you know, long before this. He did the Bugle podcast a while back, and he's just always been a comedian that I felt is so consistent and so funny and so sincere in a lot of ways that I am just really happy to see him rise to this level of fame and prominence.
Let's talk about a couple of these other awards in the category here. Lita, you're a musical theater fan, as am I, but were you a little trepidatious when Grease Live wins over both Adele and Beyonce specials?
Not as trepidatious as I was by Carpool Karaoke beating Lemonade.
Yeah, that's true.
At the Creative Arts Emmy. That was much more abhorrent to me. And the only reason I say that is because, well, first of all, I loved Grease Live. Don't get me wrong. But I think Lemonade should have won everything that it was nominated for. I'm a massive Beyonce fan. I saw the Formation World Tour back in May. I loved Lemonade. I love everything she puts out. But I think that this one was a little bit more understandable just because it was for directing, and they might wanted to have recognized the difficulty and the nuance that goes into directing something that is live. And they did some really creative things with the cinematography and with the crowd, stuff like that. So I get it more than I get the Carpool Karaoke thing beating Lemonade. That said, I still think that Lemonade should have won everything that was nominated.
Jeremiah, we know you are a huge Beyonce fan. Do you have any thoughts about the defeat of Lemonade in multiple categories this year?
No, unfortunately, this is definitely a category that I really probably shouldn't be commenting on at all, since I unfortunately do not watch any of these things on television. So I don't really have anything clever to add here, but I'll be honest. I do love Beyonce though.
Well, let's segue into a category that you might be more familiar with. Let's talk about Outstanding Variety Sketch Series, where Key and Peele get their 21 gun salute in a way in their final season. They end up winning, beating SNL and Inside Amy Schumer. Jeremiah, have you checked out Key and Peele? Do you think it was worthy of this accolade?
Actually, I know I'm going to get people to yell at me about this, but I have not watched one second of it. I know, isn't it terrible? I really need to go back. I'm going to definitely go back and watch this because I feel really terrible about it. But I'm certainly okay with it being the last season. I get it. I mean, this happens a lot of times to make sure you get it. Is this the first time they've won then?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, I mean, then I'm perfectly fine with this. I mean, I've heard good things. So I definitely think that I'll leave this up to you guys to make the comments about it, whether or not it deserved to win. I think the only show that I'm really super familiar with that was up against was Inside Amy Schumer, which I do love that show. But, you know, hey, I'm okay with them winning this thing out.
President Obama's aide is going to start yelling at you now for not watching Key and Peele. All right, Lita, lay it
on
me.
No.
What did you think about Key and Peele's win this year?
I am so happy. There is justice in the world. You know, I watched Amy Schumer, or I guess I still watch Amy Schumer.
It's in indefinite hiatus, so I think you can use the past tense very tentatively.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all very confusing. But I never thought that it was, you know, its best sketches are pretty classic. But this last season wasn't great. I'm pretty sure nothing at this point could make me stop watching Saturday Night Live. But, you know, it wasn't something that I feel like is necessarily consistently laugh out loud funny. But Key and Peele always makes me laugh. I was so happy to see Keegan-Michael Key nominated. I think Jordan Peele probably should have been nominated also, but, you know, can't quibble too much. And I was just so happy that for its final season, I believe it's its final season,
it was.
Right? It finally got the recognition that it deserved.
This was a super stacked category. I mean, between Documentary Now, yeah. Drunk History, Amy Schumer, Portlandia.
I love Drunk History,
SNL.
Too.
Should have mentioned it. It was really, really tough, but I'm happy that they at least decided. The Emmy is another one of their tropes, is that they do tend to sometimes acknowledge, like, not necessarily prestige, but very well criticized seasons in their a series in their last season. I'm thinking of like The Sopranos, for example, winning for their last season when they hadn't won in quite a while. So I'm happy Key & Peele got that recognition. I loved Keegan-Michael Key's freakout moment when Damon Wayans handed him a trophy, thinking about this guy that probably watched In Living Color when he was a kid, thinking, I'm going to do that someday, right. And now he won an Emmy for it, I think is fantastic, and I can't wait to see what those two guys do next. Before we move on from the segment, a couple of other bits that I want to get your guys' opinions on. We talked about it a little bit before, but Lita, what did you think about the Sandberg and Kit Harington dynamic going on when they decide to create their own promos for next year's Emmys?
I love this because this, you know, I don't know how many people have seen this movie, but these two were in 7 Days in Hell together, mm-hmm. which is just one of my favorite things that's ever been made. It's like an hour-long movie where it's Kit Harington and Andy Samberg are professional tennis players, and they play a Wimbledon match that lasts for 7 days, and the circumstances get progressively more ridiculous. And I love it because this is such a weird pairing. They're both, you know, incredibly handsome, so this was a great duo for me. And I thought that their bit landed super well. This is definitely my favorite presenting bit.
What'd you think, Jeremiah?
And
I thought it was a great bit. I did not see the piece that you're talking about, but I thought it was a pretty funny bit myself.
Yeah. Were you getting down on one knee to profess your love to this after watching the two of them interact?
I did.
And I will kiss you, Kyle Chandler.
That is an open offer. This will be showing on the sizzle reel for next year's recap of the Emmys. Yes. I'll leave this quote directly. We got a Matt Damon cameo as well. As we all know, Matt Damon is the sworn enemy of Jimmy Kimmel. We even get to see in his highlight clip for his nomination for Outstanding Talk Show, the bit where, I didn't see this, I guess Ben Affleck wore a big suit and Matt Damon was inside the suit. Jeremiah, do you think Matt Damon should be hosting the Emmys anytime soon?
You know, maybe we give him a chance. I don't know. I personally would have never put him on a list, you know, my short list of people I would think to host a show, but why not? I'd give him a try. You never know. He might be good. I mean, I'm a big fan of Matt Damon's, I'm not going to lie. So I'd be okay with if you give him a try to see if he could do well. What do you think? Do you think he could pull it off?
I think he'd definitely be able to. I think he is one of those drama actors that is surprisingly adept at comedy. Again, I know with the Emmys in particular, they like to go for like the straight up comedians where you know what you're getting when you walk in. So that might unfortunately not be Matt Damon necessarily. I don't know. Lita, are you going to back Damon for an Emmy? Are we going to start instead of Tatiana or Maslany for Emmy? Are we going to do Damon for Emmy from now on?
Comedy Matt Damon is the only Matt Damon that I'm interested in. Him on 30 Rock is hilarious. Yes. I thought that he was really good in this bit. I wonder what they would have done if Jimmy Kimmel had won. But I thought that his timing was great. I really enjoyed this.
All right, so let's move on to the final big genre hub of the night in drama. But I want to start with probably the most dramatic segment of the night, the In Memoriam. Lita, what did you think overall about the In Memoriam segment and the performance of Hallelujah from Tori Kelly?
I thought it was weird that they didn't announce who was singing.
Yeah, no kidding.
Because I spent the entire time being like, who is this? And I couldn't Google it because it was currently happening and I can't just like Google who is this blonde lady singing right now. Right. So I thought that was a little annoying. I liked Henry Winkler's intro, you know, remembering Gary Marshall saying other people make important television, I make Recess. I think that's a really nice quote. I love that they show. I keep bringing up 30 Rock today, but
today.
I love that they showed today. I love that they showed the Ken Howard clip from 30 Rock where he says the FCC, the Federal Clown Commission, which is just a classic line from him. So yeah, I mean, it was fine. It wasn't the most emotional one I've ever seen, but a lot of people this year. It feels like longer than just this year that some of these people left, especially like Alan Rickman. That feels like
a running reminder that 2016 kind of sucks right now, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yes.
Jeremiah, we've even neglected to mention before Jeffrey Tambor's tribute to Gary Shandling.
Yes.
What did you think of that?
Oh, I loved it. And I mean, Gary Shanley has always been someone I've enjoyed over the years, and terrible loss. Obviously, he's not with us anymore. I thought that that whole segment went really well, and I try not to get a little teary eye, you know, to be honest with you. So that was great. It just, you know, anytime you memorialize anyone that's passed on, obviously that's a hard subject to really talk about. And it's the sad part of this show. It's very difficult to pull off without being too sad. I thought overall tonight was fine. You know, I thought it was kind of interesting that I noticed that some people were talking about how that they had to make sure they highlight a lot of people who were really more famous for other things, you know, this year.
Yeah, Muhammad Ali television. Was known for his television.
David Bowie did great work on TV. Prince was in that New Girl episode.
Yeah.
Prince is my favorite television actor, actually.
I guess sometimes, like, you wonder, like, when they're going through the list, they look at their list of people who have passed away and go, there's not enough big names in here. Who else can we throw in there? Yeah, Muhammad Ali, he died. Let's put him in there, you know? You had to watch him on TV, right? You know?
Yeah.
TV star. Yeah. I also say, going back to the Gary Shanley stuff, I know that the Emmys did cause some controversy a few years ago when they didn't do the In Memoriam. Instead, they had, like, specific actors come out and talk about a specific deceased actor, where they only really highlighted, like, five actors. And for some reason, I forget who was the actress who had passed away, but they were pissed. Their family was pissed that Corey Monteith from Glee had gone screen time and acknowledged over her when she basically got snubbed in the In Memoriams, which is ridiculous. I know that we had gotten a question about the In Memoriam from Charis McCoy Weiss, saying, do you think the audience was told to hold their applause during the In Memoriam segment? Nice to see it without the virtual applause-o-meter. And I personally cannot agree more. It is actually one of my award show pet peeves when it becomes almost a popularity contest, when the bigger names get the applause and the cheers, and unfortunately those that work behind the scenes that probably contributed more to the set of Everybody Loves Raymond than even Doris Roberts barely gets any sort of acknowledgement because they're not a big name. I feel like that is a little disrespectful to the deceased. So I was personally happy to see them save that applause till the end, even if that means that Tori Kelly got sort of interrupted part of the way through as the montage ended. I was also a little confused about Hallelujah as the choice for a song. I know it sounds sad, and I know it was in Shrek when everyone was sad, but
right.
I don't know. Hallelujah has a lot of different contexts, and I'm pretty sure this might not be family friendly, but I'm pretty sure there are a couple of contexts and versions of Hallelujah that are about orgasms. So I'm not entirely sure that was appropriate to send a fond farewell to people like Alan Rickman. Probably actually really appropriate for people like Prince and David Bowie, but not so much for other people.
Yes.
Well, the other most famous, at least in my mind, instance of Hallelujah is in the OC. So it is hard for me to not think of it as a total cheeseball song when it's only associated with Shrek.
Do you think next year they should do What You Say?
That would be so good.
Deep, bring them back together, have them sing, even though hopefully nobody gets gunned down in the next year. It would not make much sense.
My dear sister. Yeah,
exactly. So let's segue into the drama category a little bit. I would say less surprises overall. Game of Thrones rounded up. Actually, what am I saying? Less surprises overall. We have freaking Ben Mendelsohn, Maggie Smith, and Tatiana Maslany winning Emmys. Jeremiah, give me your general thoughts about the drama category.
Well, I, of course, was extremely excited about Rami Malek. I was screaming, yelling, had to tweet about it, of course. I was so happy for Rami Malek. And I'll let you go ahead because I know you're a orphan black person, so I'll let you talk a little bit more about the lead actress award. That's a big word. There was definitely some surprises, though. I mean, like, there was a few that I did not expect. Like, guest actor, I did not expect Hank Azaria to win for Ray Donovan. I did not see that coming. I thought it was kind of nice as far as for supporting actor that Ben, I don't know how to pronounce his last name.
I think it's Mendelsohn.
Mendesola. Okay, for Bloodline. I was actually surprised about that one. I put that down as a surprise. I was not expecting that. Let's see. Oh, Regina King. I'm so glad Regina King won something. I just love her to death. I did not watch American Crime, but I understand that she was great at it, which I'm not surprised because she's great in everything she does, right? But for me, yeah, the big highlight for the evening for me, of course, I was just so happy that Rami one, but those are the only ones that I kind of like marked down that I was a little bit surprised about. Yeah, obviously Game of Thrones, no surprise, wins again. You know, would I would have given it to a different show? Yes, of course. I wanted to see Mr. Robot win, but hey, Game of Thrones is a fantastic show, and it was what I do agree with some of the people I saw on Twitter talking about was that to them, to a lot of fans, that this past year definitely was even more deserving than their win from the year before. So it's great. It's they're on fire right now. Game of Thrones rules
they're
the
on,
world when it comes
fire,
to drama.
Absolutely.
So I'm not surprised, but yeah, I thought the winners this tonight for the dramas. Everything made a lot of sense to me, and I thought it was a good evening.
Now, Lita, I talked before about vote splitting. I think both Ben Mendelsohn and Maggie Smith, to a certain extent, came as a little bit of a surprise, considering how many Game of Thrones actors were nominated in both of those categories. Do you think it might have been a case where I think the actors stand out probably more than directors or writers in terms of splitting votes, but do you think it's possible the Academy still split enough votes between those actors that it allowed someone to kind of slip in and nab a surprise win?
Yeah, I definitely think it's possible. I'm not, you know, it's good to see something besides Game of Thrones win, I guess, although I did like the shout out to Dungeons & Dragons for one of the Game of Thrones people, because I don't watch that show, but I do play Dungeons & Dragons once in a while. But I will say, if someone was going to be a surprise win in that category, I would have loved to see Constance Zimmer win. I feel like she deserves it so much. I absolutely love Unreal. I felt like Shiri Appleby should have also been recognized for her work on that show, but I would have loved to see Constance Zimmer come home with it. No shade at Maggie Smith, of course.
Yeah, so I think in terms of writing and directing for a drama, those both went to not only Game of Thrones, but also one specific episode of Game of Thrones, which was pretty dang epic. So I feel like you do have to acknowledge that. It probably was one of the biggest drama episodes of the year. Yeah, I mean, I was a little sad that, you know, for instance, Maisie Williams or Lena Headey did not get awards because I thought they both put in great seasons in Game of Thrones. Give a little bit of a hot take. I'm okay with Kit Harington not winning. I know he had a big season, but it's brood on brood, in my opinion, and he doesn't show nearly as much range as someone like Peter Dinklage, who I thought was also fine not winning because he didn't really have a fantastic season either. Not a lot of meat to chew on. Rami Malek, super excited about. I loved him getting up on the podium and going in character saying, "Please tell me you're seeing this too." I think it was just...
That was best. That was awesome.
Rami Malek is just so bug-eyed. And even when he tries to act normal, when he was presenting his award before, it was still Elliot Alderson giving an award out, which is so much fun. But, Tatiana. Oh, I am so happy. I mean, those of you that have listened to me on the Orphan Black podcast know that I have consistently touted this as, in my opinion, the best performance on television today. What she does is magnificent. She not only plays upwards of 5 characters at a time, but she gives each of them a distinct character. She plays each one so brilliantly. For the longest time, I had given up on the thought of the Academy acknowledging her whatsoever. Last year, she got nominated. I was like, oh, this is fun. This year, she wins it. That gives me hope for some other shows that, you know, had gotten nominated. For Master of None, for instance, that got nominated in its first season but didn't end up winning too much overall. And I think it really shows, between her and Louis Anderson, that like some of these random shows that, quote-unquote, nobody watches can really pick up the award. So maybe this is a result of the new preferential ranking that the real diehard Clone Club members like us were giving Tatiana number one, and that pushed her above all the others. But I could not be happier that one of the best performances on television was truly acknowledged in what was supposed to be an award show that was supposed to acknowledge the best performance on television. This was one of the best moments of the night for me. Clone Club, we were celebrating. We were all booty popping on beds, chilling out dollar bills like rain and subsequently picking them up. So I could spout all day about this, but I will save it for our Orphan Black Season 5 coverage, which will come at some point later on in post-show recaps. It sucks that now Orphan Black is going to be in its last season, that there will only be one more opportunity for her to take the award for this, and I don't know if she'll have another opportunity to do so again. I'm intrigued to hear from you guys, as someone who doesn't really know about the show but might tangentially know Tatiana Maslany. Were you, obviously you're probably not as you know, as spirited as I am about the award, but were you excited at least that someone random had kind of come in and taken it from people that might have been more in contention based on name alone?
Oh, I know I was. Absolutely.
Yeah, I am happy for all the people that this seemed to be really important to. I've seen people talking about this on the internet, you know, year after year about Tatiana Maslany not being recognized. And, I've never seen the show, but she plays a lot of different characters, which I think already puts her at a level of difficulty that other people don't necessarily have to contend with. So, yeah, I was really happy about this.
All right,
Mike, I think,
I mean, I would have loved to see Viola Davis because I really like How to Get Away with Murder. Yeah. But if it wasn't her, then this was
it would be tough to top her speech from last year, though. That was speech of the night by far.
Yes.
So definitely. Let's move on.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No, I was just going to say, Mike, though, I was just going to say, to close on that thought, Briz, is I think every one of us have had shows that we really love that maybe doesn't get the recognition it does or that they deserve to, whether it's the actor or the show itself. And I think we can all relate to what you're going through and talking about is that
it feels like therapy.
When your show wins, right. But when they finally win, you're just so happy for them, whether it's the actor or show, that you're just so happy they finally won because you know that they're a great show and they deserve it. So it's great to have finally someone who deserves it and is finally being rewarded for it. This is good news.
And I'm thrilled for Rami Malek as well. You know, a relatively new actor this scene, a guy from Night of the Museum series that was his only prominent work before Mr. Robot came in and swept this out from other big named actors and even people like Ben Mendelsohn. You know, going through all the People versus OJ actors all the way back to the beginning with Louis Anderson and Kate McKinnon. I feel like this was a great year to really acknowledge performances that weren't headline performances, but were really great, notable performances overall. So this is hopefully a really great optimistic direction that the Emmys are going to. And I hope that they do because, you know, I think the unfortunate reputation the Oscars have received over the past few years is that it's run by a bunch of old white guys who don't really know what's hip and trendy anymore. And it seems like the Emmys are ready to buck that trend, but let's move on to something that's probably a little more predictable than what I was just talking about. The ending announcements of Outstanding Comedy Series and Outstanding Drama Series, but I'm going to start by letting Lita gush for Veep in general and its second win in a row for however long she wants to go for.
Yeah. Okay. Veep, I love Veep and I can't make this any more clear. This is the show that I recommend to every single person. If someone's like, I'm looking for something new to watch, what should I watch? It's Veep. It's always Veep. It's always good. There's not a bad episode. The whole cast is incredible. And this category was stacked. This was, I mean, I have to say, you know, just going briefly back to the overall comedy categories, I mean, seeing some of these people, especially the acting categories, Anna Chlumsky, Gabby Hoffman, Kate McKinnon, all in the same category. A lot of different ones. Lily Tomlin in the same category as Tracy Ellis Ross and Julia Louis-Dreyfus. It was a fantastic year for comedy. And I still feel like Veep was above everything. This year, I feel like more than ever, especially with the episode about Selena's mother and the episode where, you know, well, maybe
yeah,
I won't
say don't go into too many spoilers.
Yes. But the last episode of the season, we get this emotional range from Julia Louis-Dreyfus that was fitting given the speech that we got from her tonight that was so sincere and so heartfelt. That was a little bit of a departure for her. She was better than ever in this category. And the show was better than ever in this category, rather. And seeing the whole cast up there, Dan and Richard behind her.
I was so
her.
Happy seeing Jonah Ryan with his big bushy beard standing like a tall tree in the back.
Amazing. So if you haven't watched Veep, please just do yourself a favor and do it. There are short episodes and every season is good.
I could not agree more. I've said before on post-show recaps that I think Veep has the strongest ensemble, not just in comedy, but in television today. It's just amazing how every character has been fleshed out so much and the writing is on point. And you have to give people a lot of credit. Armando Iannucci, the guy that had been steering the ship for the first four seasons and had brought it over as an adaptation from his own series, The Thick of It, left that ship to another captain. David Mandel, and he was able to steer it. And David Mandel also just seems like a really fun person. You know, him poking jokes about how he needs someone to take the library shift at his son's school the next day and accidentally pulling out his parking ticket. It's just a fantastic show. Do I think this was the strongest season of Veep? No, but it was definitely a very great season. It was definitely no, you know, season four of Community, where when somebody takes over the show running reins, things just crash and burn. David Mandel has really done a great job, and I think they were able to touch upon some things this season that they never have before. Jeremiah, I don't know if you watch Veep, but did you have any thoughts about its win, especially compared to some of the other comedies in that category?
Yeah, you'll be happy to know I tweeted out tonight that I really need to start watching Veep. Please don't judge me. I know when I'm making poor choices in my life, because apparently I need to be watching the show, and I don't have a good excuse why I have not had a chance to sit down and watch it. But you're right, when you look at the other shows that are available this season, I know we had Blackish had its first nomination this year, which I think Blackish is a pretty decent show. I do like it. I don't know if it's much better than this previous season of Veep, since I haven't seen that. But there's a lot of shows on here, though, that I'm wondering did not get the award. I mean, like, obviously, you got Transparent, you got the Unspeakable Kimmy Schmidt, you've got Silicon Valley, which is a really good show as well. I mean, obviously, Modern Family has passed its time. I mean, it's won so many awards. I think we can say it definitely was the Mad Men of its day. It's had its time for sure. And then, of course, Master of None. So I don't know. I mean, you would have to tell me since you've seen the previous season of Veep, but I think a lot of these shows were pretty solid from what I saw last season. So I was actually surprised. Well, I guess it wasn't a surprise that Veep won, but I'm just saying that there was an opportunity maybe there for another show to win this year.
I could definitely see that. I could definitely see something like Master of None, which had great critical acclaim and was sort of like a sweet underdog comedy.
Sweeping and take over
Veep, and people would say, oh yeah, it's because they lost Armando Iannucci that they lost their footing. But I would still say among these seven comedies nominated, and I think I've seen all of them except for Blackish, I've only seen like one or two episodes, but still this show that makes me laugh the most is Veep. And if we're going by a purely comedic perspective, that is, and as much as I love Tina Fey and Robert Carlock, and I still love Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, Veep still does it for me as a general comedic entity overall. Game of Thrones wins Outstanding Drama. Jeremiah, I know you gave your thoughts about how you prefer a little more automotive than medieval when it comes to your choice of shows. Lita, do you have any thoughts about Game of Thrones win overall? I know you're a Dungeons and Dragons person, but not a big fan. As a non-Game of Thrones fan, do you have any sort of feelings about its win, its second in a row?
It's fine. I mean, so my whole family is really big on Game of Thrones, so I'm definitely around it. I know what's happening a lot of the time, and I have actually heard that the writing this season and last season has not been outstanding and has not been up to par, while some of the performances have. Again, the performances have still been great, but maybe the writing has not been the same standard. I don't really know. I honestly have never seen it. It's not for lack of interest. I just really can't do violence, literally,
at all. And that's fun. That's like basically the subtitle of Game of Thrones. It's like violence in sexual situations.
Sex, yep. So, I don't have any strong thoughts on it. You know, it's not the most fun thing in the world to watch a show or to see a show that you don't watch get a million awards because you can't really have any personal excitement about it. But you know, I'm not mad at it. I'm not principally opposed to Game of Thrones.
I know we got a question from Post Show Recap's own Antonio Mazzaro about, this is his own take, so I give no, you know, I do not associate with his opinions. He says, how bad will Game of Thrones have to screw up to not win the next two seasons, take next 2 years for drama, since the last two subpar seasons won? And you bring up a good point, Lita, and I think there are obviously contrary opinions, but I think these two seasons of Game of Thrones have been a little weaker than the other four, or maybe, you know, compared to three of the four, but it still is winning. And unfortunately, that's another big trope of the Emmys, are that sometimes they just award shows because those are those shows, even though they might not necessarily be the best seasons. Jeremiah, do you think Mr. Robot is going to be the thing that topples Game of Thrones off, for lack of a better term,
it's
high horse? Or do you think that another like freshman show, like the drama version of Master of None, might suddenly sweep in and take over?
Yeah, well, definitely Master and Uncut. And I, Mr. Robot might be able to do it. I tell you what, though, what really kind of stinks in the drama category is a show that I'm trying to quickly get caught up on, and I'm sure our old man Antonio would agree with this. The show is probably really going to get kind of screwed here because of the Game of Thrones reign, shall we say, is The Americans.
Mm-hmm.
Most experts say this is the best show on television. What I have seen of it is fantastic. And I'm not caught up on it, but I know that Antonio has told me many times that this show is just unbelievable. And it may not get any more accolades now because Game of Thrones could possibly win out here. But I hope not, because I'd like to see some of these other shows get a shot at it, whether it's Mr. Robot or Americans or some of these other ones. I mean, even Better Call Saul is still a pretty solid drama. So. We'll see. I mean, time will tell. But I would like to see some new shows reign here for a while. But it's hard to say. We'll find out.
Yeah, for its two wins, Game of Thrones is getting a little long in the tooth. It only has two half seasons left before it ends. We might see a similar situation that would happen with Game of Thrones and like Breaking Bad and Mad Men, for example, when only after those shows ended and Homeland had its little like brief couple of moments of popularity before eventually flaming out, where then maybe it can sweep it and take over. I still have hope for The Americans. This might be my own Maslany optimism, if you will, but I personally believe that, you know, I think that its nomination is a good start, and hopefully more people will acknowledge it. The Americans is definitely on my list, especially after getting so many accolades this year and a lot of people calling it the best show on TV today. I feel like you have to check it out for that reason alone. Do you guys have any more thoughts about this year's Emmy ceremony before we start wrapping things up?
I will say that I don't have a lot of snubs. I think that it was silly that Orange is the New Black wasn't nominated for anything.
Mm-hmm.
I know that season 3 was what was considered, not season 4. I mean, it wasn't a fantastic season. I liked it because it wasn't quite as heavy as season 2. But, you know, just because the show suffered a little bit doesn't mean that Uzo Aduba was any less fantastic, or Danielle Brooks or any of these people that I feel like deserve recognition. And also, I just can't wait for next year when BoJack Horseman is in the mix, because it just has to be. It's one of my absolute favorite shows ever. We got character actress Margot Martindale got an Emmy, so we've already got a reference.
And she might rob a bank after that with that Emmy.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, this last season of BoJack Horseman was just one of my favorite seasons of television ever. So I really hope it gets some recognition next year. And I hope that Kimmy Schmidt, I was glad that it was nominated for a lot. I was feeling after the show, I was disappointed that Kimmy Schmidt didn't win anything. But then when I kind of thought about it, you know, what did I want it to be? And there wasn't really anything. There just were stronger contenders in that category, but I hope that one of these years it comes out with a really stellar season that can stand on its own and get a lot of
wins. I'm holding out for BoJack Horseman as well. Another hot take, it's probably my favorite Netflix show that's on right now. It's just an incredible product, and I definitely, Lita is to Veep as I am to BoJack Horseman, though probably she is to BoJack Horseman as well. So definitely check that out.
I love
when you
both.
Can. I remain optimistic for it, but it might be tough for the Emmys to, I don't know, I feel like, I don't think it's even been nominated for animated program yet, and I feel like that's a way in, kind of like what happened with Family Guy and The Simpsons. So I'm holding my breath, but I'm kind of eking out a little bit of air just in case year after year. Jeremiah, were there any snubs on your part from a nomination perspective?
Yeah, I don't think I can think of anything that I thought was snubbed this year in particular. I thought, one of the things I didn't mention at the top of the show, this was kind of an emotional Emmys, though, for me this year, because this is the first Emmys in a long time that my beloved Mad Men was not nominated for or was available to be nominated for anything. So it was kind of like a really surreal thing, like to look at my list and go, yeah, no Mad Men. That's weird. But so it was kind of an emotional moment for me this year to know that Mad Men is no longer ever going to be available to win any more awards. So that was kind of sad, but I didn't have anything that I thought of that was really a huge snub this year. But I am interested to see possibly where we could go. The direction about the, you guys are talking about with the comedies or with the animated series. I really do think BoJackman. That is a funny show. I would love to see that get nominated next year. That'd be fantastic. So we will see how things go with the 69th primetime Emmy Award.
Yeah, I guess baby. That's 69th.
So we'll see how it goes.
Hosted by Ron Jeremy.
Yeah. So we'll see how it goes. But I thought this year overall was fine.
Yeah, I would say if I could pick another snub besides BoJack Horseman, I have four syllables. The Leftovers. Despite Regina King winning an Emmy, I was very sad in that season two of this drama. I know that it is a very polarizing show, but it is something that I have definitely glommed onto after binging the first two seasons of the show. I know it's going into its third and last season this coming fall/winter/spring, whenever it airs, but I hope it at least gets some recognition because it is just a beautiful show and what it is doing. I know I say this a lot on this podcast, but it is doing something that no other show on television is really doing, and I feel like it deserves some recognition. One last thing before we go. The Emmys are going to be at CBS next year, I believe. I want to get your opinions. Who's hosting, James Corden or Stephen Colbert? Jeremiah, what do you think?
I hope it's James. James Corden is fantastic. I love him. So that would be my vote.
Lita, what about you?
Jeff Probst.
All right, we're bringing up Viola Davis.
3 hours, 49 nominees. I have no idea how many people are nominated.
I know you just won that award for best supporting actor in a comedy. We're gonna go to this random seat filler in the audience to give their thoughts on the nomination. Oh boy, if only we could only be so lucky. What when Survivor gets acknowledged and Jeff Probst gets acknowledged again by the Emmys, Bill Simmons be damned. Then maybe he'll get on stage.
Will we get surprise appearances from CEC?
Oh boy.
What's the artist that
Sia? Joking that you I did not realize you thought her name was Cece.
No, that's I know. As soon as I said, I'm like, wait a minute, that's not
right.
Yeah,
she went from the Survivor 32 reunion to becoming a contestant on Survivor 33.
Yeah, exactly.
That's Cece.
Wow, that's quick.
Yeah,
that's quick.
I would probably of the two pref James Corden just because I've talked about James Corden on the Tony Awards before. I thought he was a lot of fun. I love Stephen Colbert, but I still think he's trying to kind of find his own footing by not being the character trying to really figure out who he is on late night. I think that's another reason why the late show was not nominated this year. And it seems like James Corden was and really knows what he's doing. So I think he would make a really fun host. I really can't think of anyone else from the CBS family outside of Jeff Probst who would do it. I mean, you could get like someone like Julie Chen, but I feel like they want to go with like, a funny host where Chenbot is anything but funny, unfortunately.
Well, Jeff Probst could be a lot of fun. You know, he could maybe have some of the nominees do different challenges. You know, this would be a lot of fun. You know, we could have them do challenges up on the stage. This could be really entertaining.
Only if it's Matt Damon doing the challenges.
As long as it's not like Jim Parsons or someone like
the
that.
The entire cast of The Big Bang Theory hosts the 69th Annual Emmy Awards. And
you know, it's funny because you think about it, that's actually big news, you know, the fact that the Big Bang Theory was not out there. Now, I don't think personally, I don't feel like they got snubbed because I don't think they're there right now as far as some of these other shows that are out there. But, you know, it's been a while since we've had some years here without Big Bang Theory, which I thought I think it's nice.
Jim Parsons beating Steve Carell. Yeah. For Emmy, which I think
or like Louis C.K. or any sort of comedic actor in the blank there. Right. I mean, I think that serves, and again, I'll say this yet again, I think it serves as a microcosm for hopefully what the Emmys are moving towards, where they're sort of acknowledging less and less the big shows that have rung up a string of victories and have gotten past their hump a little bit, and they're starting to really acknowledge the little tiny performances that a small contingency of people are saying are fantastic, but the general public is not acknowledging. And hopefully, as a result of acknowledging it, more people will watch Baskets and watch Orphan Black and check out the films that Kate McKinnon will do. I can only hope. This was a super fun podcast about a super fun night of television. Thank you both so much for being on. We'll go around the horn if you want to give out your social media handles. and talk a little bit about what you're doing both on Rob Has a Podcast and anything outside. Jeremiah, we'll start with you.
Sure, no problem. Yeah, you can definitely hit me up on Twitter. I love talking television anytime you want. I mean, drama, comedy, reality, whatever you want. I love it. You can find me on Twitter at jpanhorst. That's J-P-A-N-H-O-R-S-T. I do have my own site that I run, which is jpunplug.com. It's kind of been a little bit of a hiatus. I've been so busy getting my house ready to sell, so I haven't been able to put a lot of content up there, but I'm working on getting some new stuff up there pretty soon. And of course, on post-show recaps, you can find me. The current show that I've been, of course, doing is Fargo, which I guess that returns here coming up in the early part of 2017. So I'm excited about that. But you can also find me on there, all kinds of different content that I've done for post-show recaps. So definitely go over there to postshowrecaps.com and check it out. Because whether it's something I did or Mike did or Antonio or Josh or of course, our leader, Rob Cicinino, all that's, we got so much great content on there. It's just unbelievable. And definitely check it out.
Yeah. And I want also each of us to leave with like a resolution that by the Emmys next year, we will have done something. So, Jeremiah, what's your resolution? Is it you're going to watch Veep? Is there another resolution you can make by this time next year? You'll do something.
Tell you what, I already tweeted about it. So, yeah, you're right. I should stick with it. I'm going to make my resolution to make sure I watch Veep. And I know it would make both of you very happy as well, right?
Perfect. Yes. So yes. Catch up. It's only, it's the first season, I think, is 8 episodes, and then all the other ones are 10. So super quick half-hour episodes, as we said. Lita, give out your social media, all your plugs, then give us a resolution as well.
Yes. Okay. You can find me on Twitter at Lita Tweeted, L-I-T-A Tweeted. I just wrapped up my season on reality TV wrap-ups covering American Ninja Warrior with Emmy winner Rami Malek. I'm sorry, Taryn Armstrong.
When Jennifer jumped over the bars, I felt limitless.
Yes, that's exactly what it's like. Taryn is just one of my favorite people in the world, so you should definitely go check that out. We released an interview with Joe Morovsky earlier this week, so we still... hopefully have some content coming out soon. I had the amazing privilege of being on the recap of RuPaul's Drag Race with Mike Bloom and Brent Wolgamott this week. So that was really fun. Definitely check that out. And I guess my resolution would be I'm going to watch season 2 of Transparent. I think that's going to be mine because I liked the first season, but I actually had to watch it for class last year. And so I watched it really quickly and was like writing essays about it and got really burnt out on it. But I heard season 2 was really good. Obviously it got a lot of recognition tonight, so I'm going to catch up on Transparent.
Season 2 goes in a completely different direction from season 1. But that being said, I still think, again, it's very beautifully done and it takes a really weird left turn that you will not expect until it all comes circling back at the very end of the season. So I'm excited to get your thoughts on it. You can find me on Twitter, as always, at a Mike Bloom type, and you can check out all the stuff I'm doing on the Rob Has a Website Network. If you're a Survivor fan, I did a Survivor 33 preview with Rob before the weekend. That was a lot of fun. Lita mentioned the RuPaul's Drag Race recap, which I recorded with her nigh on 7 or 8 hours ago, which was a really great time. I also sometimes come on to Big Brother and Amazing Race talk as well. Here on Post Show Recaps, my main coverage of Once Upon a Time will be back next week. Next Sunday, Once Upon a Time Season 6 is coming back. Kirk Clark and I will be here as well, as will a bunch of our coverage here on Post Show Recaps. I know Mr. Robot is just wrapping up, but I know Fear the Walking Dead is still going. The Walking Dead proper will be back soon. SNL's coming back in a few weeks. Seinfeld's always going. So make sure you're subscribed. PostShowRecaps.com/iTunes to subscribe to the main feed. All right. So to finish things off, should we start the Damon for Emmys hashtag campaign early just so we get in as the first adopters?
I think that sounds good to me.
Perfect. So we can say we were there when Matt Damon, the host of the 69th Annual Emmy Awards, got the grassroots campaign started. It happened for Tatiana Maslany. It can happen for Matt Damon. Lita, Jeremiah, thank you guys so much for coming on. This was a lot of fun. Thank you all for listening. Use the hashtag Damon for Emmys to let us know you listened. Let us know your thoughts. What were your snubs? What were your favorite moments of the evening. Do you want us to do more award show coverage? This is the first time we're really doing this, and hopefully we can do some more, but let us know your thoughts and what ideas you may have. You can always reach out to us in a myriad of ways. But for now, we are going to close things out. We have a bunch of peanut butter and jelly sandwiches with our names on them, and hopefully some nicely handwritten notes from Jeremiah to read over as we dig into our late dinner. Thanks so much again for listening. Take care. Bye-bye.